Who's the man who's able to walk a straight line while being watched by an authority figure? It's a junkie. It's a drunk. It's a compulsive overeater. No, it's Sober Man. Welcome to episode 116, Sober Man Podcast, formerly Al Berman Live from a studio apartment. It's time for another podcast. That's what it is, folks. I looked up at the calendar today. I saw the time on the microwave and my stove. You know, I don't have a clock anymore. George Lopez used to have a routine about Mexicans not having actual clocks in their houses. They just have, the microwave. Well, who needs a clock? I don't need a clock anymore. I got my freaking phone, my iPhone. I got a microwave. I got an oven. I don't need no clock. So it's not just Mexicans. It's probably everybody. So stop picking on the Mexicans. Okay. I'm not going to mention about Donald Trump. I just mentioned him, didn't I? I just mentioned Donald Trump. So it's episode 116. The energy's not completely up. Let's get it up. Let's get it up. Come on. This is a clean podcast. You know what it is? I think yesterday we had rain here, and it was just like, what are we doing having rain? We don't need rain. We don't get rain. We don't have rain. We don't want rain. We want sunshine and warmth and never any rain until the time comes when everybody dies of thirst. We had a lot of rain. I don't know if we had a lot of rain, but I live in the valley here. I live in the valley here. It rained. It rained yesterday, 20 minutes after a good rain, and the intersections are flooded. And I don't mean flooded where, where there's a lot of water. And the building I live in, once it rains a lot, then we are become like surrounded by a moat. It's a moat. We have a moat. When I took, rented an apartment here, it didn't say anything about a moat. It said air conditioning. Some apartments have dishwashers. Mine doesn't. I'm the dishwasher in my apartment. It gets to the point where there's a moat, basically a moat, and it's hard to get in and out of the building at that point unless you're wearing boots. If we do start to have rain, I'm going to buy boots. I'm going to buy boots that come up to my, at least my calves. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to buy some boots. I haven't worn boots since I left New Jersey back in the day. You never needed boots out here in Los Angeles. You never needed no darn boots. But we had rain. We had rain, and I just didn't go anywhere yesterday. I just stayed home. I ordered some Thai food. And from a place I hadn't ordered from in quite a while. Found out the two sisters that I knew that worked there no longer worked there. They moved to another restaurant. And so that's got some information on that. But, I was trying to figure out the tip. And I will get in, I will talk about, well, I mean, I'll talk about in the beginning of the podcast here, tips. Because I had a situation the other day. I had a situation. But let's talk about the Thai tip. The Thai delivery food tip. I had like, my bill was like $32, just under $32. I bought enough for a couple, two, three meals, okay? So don't judge. Don't judge me. And I was thinking, I don't know what the the protocol is for tipping. Like, I know in restaurants, it's supposed to be like 15% would be a standard tip. And anything above that would be, you know, pretty good, right? But tipping a delivery person, is that the same thing? So I went online and I saw that, you know, it's varied. Some people, they tip like $3, $4, and sometimes it's 10 or 15% of what your bill is. And but I had like some big bills and I had $36 and I was like thinking like, well, you know, I don't want to break a 20. I mean, big bills. 20 is a big bill. I'll just give him a $4 tip. That's pretty good. I mean, he's driving like less than a mile. He's getting out of the car. He's walking to my door and giving me a bag. Well, it could have been a she, but it was a he. And so, I don't know. I felt like it was okay. I gave him the tip and he was nice. He was like, oh, thank you. And he walked away. But I've had other situations. And I think might have been the same restaurant. Another delivery guy one time. I gave a tip. And I always feel like I tip pretty decently. And I don't know. I don't know if I gave him $3 or whatever that day. But this is a different guy. And this guy, he just looked like kind of disappointed. And I don't think he said thank you, and he walked away. And I was confused by that, because I almost called him back. You know, like, hey, excuse me, is there a problem? Did I not tip you enough? You know, or yeah, I mean, you don't even say thank you, like, thanks for the tip. You look at it like you're, like, in disgust. I could have given you nothing. How about if I gave you $0? That would have been a pretty bad tip. That's the worst tip you can get. Is a $0 amount tip. And that brings me to, I had a situation the other day. I went to a restaurant I hadn't been to in a while. It's a kind of a, I want to say gourmet, sort of new agey in a way kind of place. You know, turkey sausage, you know, chai tea, that kind of a place. Nice atmosphere. You know, pretty people that go there, including me. And I hadn't been there in a while, and I decided I would go over there. And so, I usually eat during off hours, because that's my schedule. I don't eat when everybody else eats, because I'm better than everybody else. No, because that's what I do. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I'll be. So, I walk into the place. And it was a very beautiful woman greeted me, which was nice. And then she gave, she instructed another woman. I'm not going to say she wasn't as beautiful, but she quite frankly wasn't. But inside, I think she was just as beautiful. Okay, I'm being very shallow here. But anyway, the other girl walked me to my table and gave me my menu. Everything's fine. Then a gentleman comes over, a young guy. I'd say he's probably in his 20s, I'm thinking, mid to late 20s. And he said hi, and I said hello. He seemed kind of friendly, and I said, hello, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And I tell him what I want. I built my own, I did a build your own omelet. I like building my own omelet. Makes me feel like a construction worker. We're building our own omelets here. Yes, we build our own omelets. Hello, build your own omelet. Somebody should open up a restaurant. Build your own omelet. B-Y-O-O. Build your own. B-Y-O-O. By you. I'm telling you, why not? If I would have told you 25, 30 years ago to open up a coffee place and you'd make, you know, millions or billions of dollars, you'd say, no, it's crazy. Everybody's coffee everywhere, right? And look at Starbucks now. So what I'm saying, I'm giving you a tip, not a dollar tip. Well, this is kind of a dollar tip. Open up, build your own omelets, franchises. Anyway, so I order my build your own omelet. So basically this guy is, you know, at my table. He writes down my order. I ask him for salad instead of, there's a salad instead of potatoes or whatever, because that's where I'm going. I get an English muffin, and I just want some water. I don't really want anything else to drink. And that's it. That's all he's got to do. And he walks away, and we're fine, and everybody's fine. Then I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, these days, it's, you know, you have your phone, so now you don't have to even, you know, I was by myself. I'm looking at my phone, and I'm, you know, looking, scrolling through Facebook or whatever. And boy, does the time fly when you're scrolling on your phone. Next thing I know, my food is there, but my food is being delivered by this young, I want to say Latino kid. I did say it. And he, you know, puts my food down, and I thank him. At one point, I ask him, hey, can I get some hot sauce? Because I want to put a little flavoring on this omelet. You know, he didn't offer it. I had to ask him. Okay, fine. No big deal. So I'm eating my food. Everything's fine. Enjoying my meal. All life is good. And the waiter comes over. Hey, everything okay? You know, because I got to do the obligatory everything okay. I go, everything's fine. Thank you very much. And so we, you know, I eat my food. And I get done. And the Latino kid comes back over. Or maybe it was another Latino kid. Hey, are you finished with this? Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I only ate half an English muffin. Thank you. You know, I've been really watching my, you know, the starchy carbs. But I'm not denying myself completely because then it gets ridiculous. So I get done. Feeling pretty good. The guy comes over. He brings me my bill. It's in one of those books that Jerry Seinfeld did a routine about. When restaurants bring you a book. And I look at the bill. And it's a total of, I believe it's $14. Maybe a little under $14. So I'm going, okay, it's $14. And this includes tax. Now, I was told you don't include tax in the tip, right? But I always do. I just do it because to me, I don't want to do the math in my head. So I just automatically was going to give 20%. So that's 20% including tax. So now it's a $3. It's a $3. Over $3 tip. It's over 20%. Because if it's $14, that would be $2.80. I can do that math in my head. So the guy comes over, the waiter, and I go, hey, can I pay you? He goes, yeah, yeah. So I hand him a 20 because that's all I have. That's, you know. And I ask him, hey, could you give me $3 back, please? And he gives me $3 back, and he seemed utterly disappointed. Did he thank me? He might have. I don't remember. But I just remember registering his disappointment, and I'm thinking like, well, maybe, you know, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be completely and utterly wrong. This guy could be thinking about something else. I don't know. And maybe it's possible he was. But I thought like, I mean, I just try to let it go. I go, okay, well, whatever. I felt good. I gave him a good tip. I mean, what did he do? He friggin' just came over and took the order, and that was, then I got to friggin' what? I got to pay his rent? So I get up to leave, and I'm walking out. And mind you, it's not busy at this point because it's off hours. And he's standing in the front of the restaurant, but not right in front where I'm going to pass by. But near where I'm going to pass by, and he could see me walking out. And I thought, like, well, let me see if he says goodbye and says thank you. And he didn't. He looked away. And I was really confused by that. And again, maybe he's going through some deep thing in his life, so I don't want to judge what's going on. But I just thought, like, I started, like, you know, questioning, like, what if he really was, I mean, of course I'm projecting this, if he really was unsatisfied with the tip, I'd like to know what he thinks he deserves and what he thinks he, you know, and why he thinks he deserves what it, what, you know, like why is $3, why is a little over 20% not enough for you, mister? If I would have given you 25%, would that, what would 25% be of that? It's 4 into $14 is what, two is seven. It would have been another 50 cents. You know, you're going to stress me for 50 cents, brother? Jeez, oh, see, I could do the math in my head. But I prefer to do the math in my head as the bill, the total bill. So my point is, I felt a little bit put out by this guy and his, or insulted or confused, I should say. I spoke to a friend of mine, Wesley, about it. And I, you know, at one point he said, you know, you just have to let it go. And I go, yeah, I'm going to let it go. But first I'm going to talk about it on my podcast because I need things to talk about, folks. Otherwise I'm just sitting here and not saying anything. So that's that. All right. I spent a lot more time on that than I was planning to. But, you know, hey, that's the way it goes. So this week, I took my car into the local Ford dealership because there was a recall on it. And the recall happened, like, probably around 3 years ago. But that was at the time when I was getting ready to do my surgery and I was having a hard time getting around. And so I didn't do it. And what the recall was for is that there was a situation where certain cars, if they if you pressed the accelerator down to the floor, it stuck. And now, when have I ever done that? I mean, if you know, I don't have a sports car, but if I just press my accelerator a quarter of the way, I'm doing 65 to 80 miles an hour on the freeway. So I wasn't that concerned about it, and the years have gone by. And then I got another letter from Ford at one point going, hey, you know, your car is recalled, you got to bring it in. And I go, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then I just, you know, first of all, I don't like going to this particular dealership because they try to scam me. Or not, I want the guy that I worked, that I was, when I went there before, he tried to scam me. And you know, and the dealerships have a bad reputation for finding stuff. Come on in for a free 18-point check, and then they're going to find. Of course, they're going to find stuff wrong. It's the point of bringing you in, if they're not going to find stuff wrong. But anyway, maybe they got like a new crew there, and I went over there, and they were really, the guy I had was really, really cool. And but when I called to make an appointment on the phone, the girl said that. She didn't know how long it was going to take. It could take a few hours because, you know, that was just it. So I was like, oh, man, a few hours. And so I decided, so I, when I got there, I asked the guy, you know, and he said it would take a couple. He would try to push it through because he realized I was kind of stuck there. And but there's about a long block away. There are a bunch of restaurants. There's a movie theater. You know, a little kind of area where you can go and entertain yourself with different things. So I decided to go and check out the movie theater. But by the time I got to the movie theater, the only movie playing was a movie called Inside Out, which is a Pixar movie about what a young girl feels inside. And how did I find this out? Because when I went up to the box office, that's what the guy said, how he described it. And I go, oh my God, that's the only movie you got? He goes, you know, it's kind of good. It's pretty good. You know, I enjoyed it. Really? Well, I'm stuck here. I'll go, he goes, listen, if you don't, after about an hour, if you don't like it, you know, come back and I'll refund your money. I said, all right, that's a deal. So, I go in. I hadn't been to a movie theater in a long time. And I was a little concerned because there were a couple of young girls sitting near me that were talking really loud during the, not when the movie went on, but when they have the advertisements. And I was going to say something. I didn't want to get into it. But then as soon as the previews came on, they were quiet. And so I watched some previews, and then they had another, like a short kind of Pixar cartoon, and then the movie came on. And it was okay. It was enjoyable up to a point. It was clever. I couldn't help thinking that had I been involved in the creative process of that film, in the writing, the acting, you know, the voiceover, that it would have been a better film. And I'm not saying this just as a egomaniacal thing. I'm just saying that I think I could have made it better, especially, well, the writing part, because it seemed like it was kind of like a one joke movie, you know, the same joke over and over again. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, I had a couple, few chuckles, and I thought, oh, that's pretty nice. And then I was like trying to, I had to really go take a pee and take a whiz. And I'm thinking like, oh man, can I just wait till the movie ends? But then it started to get, you know, critical, got crucial. And I thought like, okay, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go take this whiz. And I hope that I'm not offending anybody. As George Carlin would say, you're actually leaving a whiz, not taking a whiz. Anyway, I get up and, you know, so I'm going to get up and I'm thinking like, all right, I go out, do my business. And then I'm thinking like, once I'm out of the theater, I'm like, I got to go back in there. And then I got to kind of open the door and go back down into my seat. And I'm not really feeling this anymore. I'm kind of over it. It's a one joke movie. And so I go up to the box office, but I see on the clock, it's like an hour and 20 minutes have passed. So I'm way past the point. But, you know, I figured, you know, nothing, that doesn't hurt to ask. So I go up to the box office guy, but it's a different guy. And I tell him, I ask him, you know, is it possible to get my money back? Because I was told, if I didn't like it within an hour, but I know it's been over an hour, but I just thought, hey, I didn't really want to see the movie anyway. I'm just stuck here because my car's being serviced. And he goes, I don't think so, but let me ask the manager. And then she came out. And she goes, oh, no, we can't do that. And I, you know, you've been here for, you know, the movie's going to end in 20 minutes. And I said, okay, you know, I mean, it didn't hurt to ask. You could have said yes, and I would have paid for my lunch. But now, instead, I got to go pay for my own, no. So it was fine. But the movie, you know, whatever, I wouldn't go. It was like a one-joke movie. All right, enough. Enough about that. Then I go to Chipotle. This is a day of firsts for me. Day of firsts. I had never been to a Chipotle before. And it was pretty good. Pretty good. But pretty pricey for what it is. So, Chipotle, keep up the good work. And keep charging those exorbitant rates. What else? Oh, so I'm walking down the street after my Chipotle. I'm going back to the car dealership, because I call up and the guy says, yeah, my car is done, and they're just waiting for the paperwork. And I go, ah, that's cool. And I'm walking, and there's a subway station where people go to take the subway, and there's a lot of activity, vendors selling this and that. And there was a girl with a sign said, you know, get a job, or jobs offered or something like that. She wasn't like telling people get a job. It was like she was promoting jobs. And so she looked at me. She goes, hi. And I go, hi. And I go, what kind of job do you offer? And she goes, oh, sign twirling. And, you know, those are the people that stand on the corner and twirl signs for businesses. And, you know, it's good. That's the kind of thing I would have done when I was 20 years old. First of all, I don't need a job right now, number one. Number two, if I did, I'm not going to be a sign twirler. So I said, no, I don't think I'm, I don't need, I'm not a sign twirler type. And then she goes, oh, you never know. You know. She goes, hey, take a card. You know, maybe you know somebody that wants to be a sign twirler. I said, I know nobody that wants to be a sign twirler. Okay? I know not one potential sign twirler. So I said, you know, just save your card. If you give it to me, it's just going to be a waste. I'm just going to end up tossing it. And she appreciated it. And or I could have taken the card and I could have just twirled it on the corner. Hey, get a job. All right. That's it. That's the end of this episode. Hey, did you listen last week and you heard the song from my band at the end? If you were listening last week, you saw that I had a song that I did for my band. And so I'm going to do it again today. Today's song is called Make a Move. This one I wrote by myself. And all the songs, I'm the lead singer. just to let you know. So enjoy that. That's how I'm going to outro it. And thank you, everybody, for who's listened to my podcast. Tell people if you want to. Don't tell people if you don't want to. Do whatever you want to do. There's a good chance I'm going to be in the iTunes store soon. I think Dwayne has cracked the code, and he's on it. So until next time, Al Berman from the Sober Man Podcast saying talk to you next time, and stay tuned for the outro song, Make a Move. Across the page.